It's time for the Brandon Groover News Hour, sponsored by Elite Home Health, a radio show where all viewpoints are respected. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Good afternoon, Jacksonville and surrounding areas. Today is March the 5th. Thank you, Doug, for reminding me what day it is.
That's right.
I forget every time.
It's Friday, too.
Yes, yes, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Okay, on today's show, we're going to discuss the violent crime in Jacksonville and the unacceptable poverty rates in the inner city, which I believe are correlated. Zip code 32206 and 32209 have poverty rates well over 50%. In some areas, you're looking at 57% poverty rate. These are third world country living conditions. What can and should be done about it? That's what we're going to discuss on the show. Also, some further statistics. The South Side contributes 70% of the economic activity in the Northeast Florida region. So just think about that. Just the South Side of Jacksonville contributes 75% of all the economic activity when you consider St. Johns County, Duval, Baker, Clay, Nassau. That one little sliver of land on the South Side contributes 70% of economic activity. Am I opposed to South Side wealth? No. I think whatever caused the South Side to be successful, let's duplicate it, you know, countywide, regional-wide, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And the South Side is kind of a widespread area because it's kind of vague.
Right.
Because it could be considered from Mandarin.
Right.
You know, to here where we are around the Butler Boulevard corridor, which has been a big growth area over the last 20 or 30 years.
Right.
And, of course, the regular part of the South Side all the way up to Arlington and East Arlington, it was really more the favorite area because Arlington was at one time in the 70s very, very a favorable area.
Right, absolutely.
But that's, you know, it's taking a little dip there.
Mm-hmm.
But that is such a widespread area that kind of makes sense.
Well, not when you look at, it's Duval, you know, Duval County is 800 square miles.
Yeah, well, Duval County is the largest in the lower 48, the largest city and land area in America.
Yeah, and then you look at Nassau County, you know, but I'm not really so much.
I'm not taking you to issue. I'm just kind of pointing out that the South Side is kind of, you know, you were saying a slither, but it's actually kind of a large area of the city.
Right, but when you take into consideration that Northeast Florida region is maybe 2,000 square miles, and I say the South Side is 300 square miles, it is overcompensating based on it. You don't expect that much growth, that much wealth to be concentrated in 300 square miles in an area that's 2,000 square miles. But I get what you're saying. It's not a small area. I was just taking, you know, I'll move on to the next point. But I got you. I got you, AJ. I'm with you. Okay, so South Side contributes 70% of economic activity in Northeast Florida. We must take concrete actions to increase investment north and west of the river. Second segment, we will discuss the tribalism, the increased tribalism of U.S. politics. Our country has not been this divided since the Civil War. Unless President Biden and the Democrats address the long-term underlying issues that affect the middle class, they will be swept from office in 2022 and 2024. We like to do predictions on the show. I predict that. So if they don't get on the bandwagon, you know, as far as addressing the underlying issues, which is the sluggish economy, you know, golden parachutes for them. The $1.9 trillion Biden proposal will provide $1,400 per worker and a larger child tax credit. In my opinion, it will fail to bring back the 20 million plus jobs that were lost during the pandemic. One reason is because the Biden administration bowed to Wall Street and axed the PPP program. Until our leaders learn to lead, we will remain a country divided and paralyzed politically. When there is no bread on the shelves, there is blood and revolution in the streets. Last year, if I said that, you'd say, oh, this guy's crazy. Well, we just saw the Capitol building get stormed. So, you know, historical things do make sense when you look at it from a 5,000 square feet approach looking down. So my point is, you know, when you say that kind of stuff prior to what happened in the Capitol, you know, we've been talking about this stuff for months on the show about, you know, the tension in the country politically, and we also talked about this underclass in this country. And I'm not talking about black or white. I'm talking about the forgotten man, whether you're talking about the workers in the Midwest who no longer have jobs in industrial plants. That's why you have the whole opioid pandemic. People take drugs when they're stressed out and depressed. I think we get so caught up in politics that we run away from common sense. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that people who are suffering are more likely to use and abuse drugs. Suicide rates are up. We also talked last week on the show that for every percentage that unemployment goes up, you get 40,000 deaths, suicide, heart attacks, et cetera, et cetera. So like I said, on this show, we try to create a safe zone where we can discuss issues and not be tied down by, you know, Democratic labels, Republican labels. Let's just have some common sense conversations. And I said on here on my last note, while the leaders are partying, our leaders are partying while we are all left perplexed. Tune in to join the discussion. 904-831-0600 if you want to chime in. 904-831-0600. Before we take Joe, can we run that first clip?
Talking about the violent Jacksonville?
Yes.
The weekend has come and gone in Jacksonville as investigators are now looking into at least 5 shootings since early Sunday morning. As of tonight, the city has seen more than 420 total shootings, with 134 of those turning deadly. And it just adds on to the city's homicide count, which now stands at 160 when you include deadly stabbings, beatings, and other undetermined deaths. Now, while those look like a lot of numbers there on your screen, On Your Side's Kaylee Tracy spoke with the football coach of the city's first deadly shooting victim, who wants to remind everyone that every death is not just a statistic.
And Lord, he was a great family, but now you've joined him to your family. But comfort the heart of the people, Father God.
Through tearful prayer, family and friends remembered star athlete Malik Brown. The 18-year-old was shot and killed during a robbery at an apartment complex in Grand Park in January, according to JSO, and left behind a young daughter.
We need to love each other. Stop this senseless violence.
His family begging the community to end the violence in Jacksonville. 10 months after that plea, 159 families are now part of a club no one asked to join. 2020's homicide rate at least 160, according to JSO's transparency website and First Coast News' homicide tracker. That number breaks last year's total of 158 lives lost, the highest homicide rate the city saw in almost 2 decades.
It's heartbreaking because we talk about it, we see the numbers, and it shouldn't be until a young person dies that we start hitting the streets hard and saying stop the violence.
Omar Simmons coached Brown in football.
From a community standpoint, until it happens to my child or to my loved one, it's really not my concern. But it should be.
Simmons says Brown was the third former player he has lost to violence in Jacksonville.
Each one I lost, I would think something would have changed.
Simmons says community and government leaders need to work together to mentor young people and give them a different outlet.
We're addressing how bad they are, or, you know, they're part of this gang or that gang, but it's a mentality. And we have to give them something that is different.
Something different, Simmons says, so lives like Brown's don't continue to be lost. Kaylee Tracy, First Coast News, on your side.
Okay, before we bring in Joe, I want to just look at, and I sent you these as well, Doug. You can check your email. I just emailed you some statistics that just came over from a Lyft Jacksonville presentation that was unveiled in February of this year. Duval County overall poverty rate for Duval County is 13%. For Florida, 12.7. United States, 10.5. But if you zoom into the Duval County map, right, and zoom into these areas that are, like, we have crime all over the county. It's not just concentrated in one area, because, you know, you have shootings all over the place, you know. But if you zoom into the areas that are the hot spots for crime, you look at 322-04, poverty rate 57.2%. 322-09, 56.2%. 322-06, 50%. The Arlington area, 17.9, 322.07, 34.2, 322.16, 37.5. So if you, when you go into the urban part, in 322.54, you know, 42.6%. So these are the areas of the county that kind of, if you look at the crime and the shootings that take place in the city, there's a correlation in my opinion, where you have crime and poverty. I always say on the show, when people have jobs, they don't tend to shoot you because they have a job, you know. But Joe, I'll let you come in and what's your thoughts?
Okay, well, you know, you guys were talking about 70% of the economic activity in Duval County comes from the south side.
Right.
But then, now I would imagine you got that number from a study that said, you know, where this economic activity is, you know, kind of like the boundaries of it.
Right. I got it from the, actually, it was an article in the St. Augustine Record.
Okay. And, you know, I mean, that's, unfortunately, it's like that in a lot of cities where, you know, certain areas of a city is responsible for a majority of the economic activity. And I'm sure if you look deeper into that, it would show that there's probably a lot of large companies and large buildings over there, like in the JTB area, where you have a lot of people employed. Would you think?
Absolutely. See, this is the thing. And this is no jab at you, but on the show, I notice a lot when we bring up issues, mm-hmm. people tend to think that that's an attack on another issue. Like, I'm not sitting here, I'm not complaining about the wealth on the South Side. I'm not saying it's a problem that the South Side is wealthy. I'm not saying that. But I'm trying to make the connection to have a conversation as a city to try to figure out what we can do to increase economic activities in these areas that contribute to the violent crime. Because you know what? When you watch the news, if you're a millionaire, a billionaire that's thinking about bringing your company to Jacksonville, and you see there's a shooting at an Amazon plant, that kind of makes you think twice about bringing your business to Jacksonville. And you know what I'm saying? So go ahead.
Yeah, Brandon, I wasn't taking it as I didn't think that you were attacking anybody. You know, I was just saying that, you know, you guys started talking about the South Side, and then it branched off, well, what does the South Side entail? You know, what area? Is it Mandarin? And I don't think it is. I think that, you know, the data that was compiled there was probably because of a lot of the corporations along 95 and JTB, that whole area there. But I agree with you 100%. If, you know, if people are poor, you're going to have problems.
Right.
You know, there's no doubt about it. I mean, if you don't have a job, you know, you're not waking up on the right side of the bed is all I'm going to say.
Right.
And something needs to be done. And, you know, I don't know what it is that causes somebody to hire someone and not hire someone. You know, I mean, I was working for an AC company, and it was, you know, one of the owners was black, okay? Mm-hmm. The other guy was white, you mm-hmm. know? And they would try to hire, you know, I mean, they hired, it, in the AC business, it's really hard to find, you know, experienced technicians.
You know what I mean? Right.
So if you came in the door with qualifications, I don't care if you were black, white, or Jew, you know, you got hired.
Right. And I think, too, you know, like I said, some of this stuff we need to, you know, talk about as a community, because, you know, I do know of groups who have tried to push, you know, vocational schools. But the powers that be on the city council, you know, for other reasons, not city council, but school board. And not just so much Jacksonville, but I know across the country, you have companies that want to partner with the school system to bring in vocational training, but you have pushback from teachers' unions and other groups who focus more on what's better for the teachers as opposed to what's better to provide for students so they can be prepared when they graduate high school to go out in here and get jobs. I saw a study a while back. This was before COVID. There were 5 million job openings in the United States. The issue was the problem these people couldn't, the reason these 5 million jobs, and these are high-paying jobs, you know, electricians, plumbers, you know, apprenticeship jobs, was that the American people lacked the skills. So I'm thinking, okay, well, if you have 5 million job openings in the country, why wouldn't you trinkle with the school system to make sure you're producing a workforce that's qualified, you know, for these jobs? So, you know,
right. Well, if you look at the percentage of people that have a bachelor's degree in this country,
mm-hmm.
it's very small.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, what it shows you is that the school pipeline, I think, is somehow, as far as the teachers' unions from K through 12,
mm-hmm.
are tied in to and designed to feed the, you know, the university and the state college system.
Right.
But they're failing people because, right. you know, it's just like when they were talking about paying off college loans.
Mm-hmm.
The percentage of people that have bachelor's degrees is less than 20%
right,
of the
right.
population,
right.
I believe.
Right. And you know something. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
They have to stop, you know, life isn't all about academics. You know, you need to learn how to read and write.
Mm-hmm.
But then beyond then, you need to get a skill that is going to make you marketable. And it's not a college degree in women's studies or African-American
right.
studies
right.
or being an English major because
right.
we only need so many of them.
Right,
okay?
right.
A kid needs to learn how to do math, how to critically think, and, you know, be able to read, and then they need to be taught a skill that will make them marketable.
Right,
and there's
tons. I agree. Well, Joe, I agree with you 100%, and we have another caller behind you. So thank you for calling in and contributing to the show. We always love to hear feedback from the community. Thank you. And I wasn't so much thinking that you felt that I was picking on the South Side. I just know I have to be careful what I say on the show because I get emails when the show is over.
Sure.
You know, so I was just trying to cover all bases. But thank you.
All right. Well, look, we still got to get together for that cup of coffee.
Okay.
You know, I called you a couple of months ago and we talked about having a cup of coffee.
Hold me to it.
I will. I'll
okay.
end up getting a hold of your over there at the station.
You call AJ and we'll make it happen. Call,
yeah, man.
Call AJ
right.
back when we hang up and he'll take your number.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye bye. Okay, so and we have Ms. Stephanie on the line, Joe made a good point. Like, we need to figure out a way on how, like, this is something we need to be addressing with the school board, because one of the issues that everybody wants to place the blame game. You know, they want to blame this and blame that. At the end of the day, we're failing these kids on the north side if they're not. And something else I want to say too before I take Ms. Stephanie. Why is it back in the day in the United States, you could go, and I'm not against education. I believe in education is great. But, you know, pushing everybody through bachelor's programs, you know, isn't seem to be working, you know, because there are only so many jobs that are in those fields. What happens to the day when a person can work based on their hands, you know, like unskilled workers? You know, I think we've gotten far from that. Like, back in the day, you could graduate high school and go work at the shipyards, building ships. You could work building refrigerators. You know, America was once the manufacturing powerhouse, and this is why on this show, I take a shot at China every chance I get. Please don't hike my emails, China. But I always take a shot at China because, in my opinion, they robbed us blind. And people always say, well, how could those 75 million people vote for Donald Trump? Because Donald Trump was the only person who took it to China. You know, love him or hate him, the people in the inner city, you know, have suffered the most with these free trade agreements. You know, NAFTA, WTO. If it wasn't for Trump, balls and stripes, whatever that thing is, balls and stripes. President Trump killed TPP. TPP was the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That trade agreement was going to equalize trade relations with every single country in Southeast Asia. Now, you think China's giving us trouble, right? But you're looking at a country like Vietnam, where people will work on a dollar a day. You cannot compete with that. I don't care what union contracts you break or whatever. Americans have to make at least, you know, $10 an hour to survive. And that's not enough, but I'm just saying, making $10 an hour versus somebody making a dollar a day, you know, that's rough. Ms. Stephanie, what's on your mind?
Hey, Brandon.
How you doing, Miss Stephanie?
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing pretty good.
Excellent.
That's good. I was calling because, you know, I'm worked for Duval County for 31 years, and then I retired. Total teaching full-time was like 33 years.
Thank you for your service.
It was my pleasure because I taught my special needs babies, and I loved every moment of it.
Thank you.
And one thing I remember when I came to this county from a small county down near Hillsborough County
mm-hmm.
is that they had trade schools.
Mm-hmm.
They had the one off of Gulf Air.
Mm-hmm.
They had one on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
These schools were doing great. They were having, as your last caller said, people come out who could be plumbers, mm-hmm. electricians. They had all of that come.
Yep.
And then what happened was our school board, as much as I did not like Superintendent, I think it was Singh, the first one who was here.
This is my VD?
For years.
Before VD?
This was 30 years ago, Brandon.
Oh,
you
yeah.
were a baby.
Yeah. My diploma only went back to 2004. Sorry.
you were a baby, Brandon.
Gotcha.
Baby. So I believe it was Superintendent Singh. If anybody is there older than 50, you remember Superintendent Singh.
I think George Washington was Doug's superintendent.
You know what? You know what, Brandon?
Thank you.
You better be, praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Amen.
But anyway, as much as I didn't like the way he treated our teachers,
mm-hmm.
he was not great for the teachers, but mm-hmm. he did have those trade things were open.
Mm.
And you had guys coming out, mechanics, all of that. Mm. Then you did have your schools that were your regular high school diploma.
Right.
Then you did have your set.
Right.
What is wrong with having an equal regular education? If you're not an AP kid,
yep.
just go and get your regular diploma.
Yep.
If you want to get an AP,
yep.
get an AP,
yep.
get an IB diploma.
Yep.
Then have your trade diploma.
Absolutely.
You have to still pass your regular diploma. Plus, then you also get a trade.
But see, that's why I like having two parties in this country, because you know you got the Democrats who make sure that we, you know, they do push to make sure that there's funding for scholarships and stuff like that. But on the other side, you have the Republicans on the other side. You know, they are always trying to push, like, school reform and charter schools. I think we can marry the two. What if we had charter schools that would take on the burdens of providing the trade schools?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because I think with all the companies we have, why hasn't one of all of these, the AC companies, the mechanics guilds, and
mm-hmm.
all of these people get together and be a charter school for the trade.
Yep,
bring
I agree.
That opened the one that was on Gulf Air.
Yeah, they used to be our church back in the day, that same building. Side
see,
note.
And, mm-hmm. So I'm like, why not open things like that back up?
Yep.
And teachers unions, I've been a part of a teachers union until I'm now in a private school, but it wasn't the union's fault. It's the school board's fault. Our school board, unfortunately, they get prostituted. I'm sorry. Every time they get a new superintendent in that somebody else doesn't want.
Mm.
This is the first time in a long time we had a superintendent in who other people liked from other counties, and it wasn't
a
big black mark on that person's record.
Right, and I'm gonna say a special shout out to Diane Green. You know, superintendent we have now, Duval County missed a A by one point.
Mm. See, look, and the thing is that we have prostituted ourselves, the school board, for years. They had people who are qualified within the county, and they kept going out to people who didn't know nothing about our county to get some help.
Mm.
And that's like you said before, I'm not in politics. I'm not a member of Duval County School Board anymore, so I'm going to speak my mind.
I say run Miss Stephanie for superintendent 2030. I ain't going to push Diane Green out yet. But on the other side of the commercial, thank you, Miss Stephanie, other side of the commercial break, we're going to talk about travelers in the country. Marta, I see you hanging on. Hang in there, Marta. We're going to get to you next. Thank you.
AM 600.
101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Jason Walker. More than 27 million Americans fully vaccinated now against the virus will have to keep waiting for more guidance from federal health officials for what they can and cannot do. The Biden administration says it's focused on getting the guidance right and accommodating emerging science. Anyone getting a cancer check soon after a COVID-19 vaccine should alert their doctors to prevent false alarms from a side effect. Experts now say that lymph nodes, especially in a person's armpit, can swell after the vaccinations. It's a normal reaction by the immune system, but one that might be mistaken for cancer if it shows up on a mammogram or any other scan. Economy adding 379,000 jobs in February. Unemployment rate fell to 6.2%. This is SRN News.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good day, I'm Adam Boardman. There are some age restrictions for those who want to get a COVID-19 vaccine at the new federal site in Jacksonville, but not for anyone who works at a school. Yesterday, an official with Florida's Division of Emergency Management said that all school employees can get the jab at Gateway Mall. At the state-run sites, such as the Regency Square Mall, school employees have to be at least 50 years old to get the jab. So far, Duval County has had more than 89,000 confirmed COVID cases, including more than 1,100 deaths. Statewide, there have been over 1.9 million infections to date. A theft at a Jacksonville store sent a man who was nowhere near the crime to the hospital. It started yesterday afternoon at the River City Marketplace. Police then pulled over a suspect's car, but it took off again, crossed the center line, and hit another car, which went off the road and hit a man who was walking. The suspects got out of the car and ran, but were soon caught by police. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
There's some delays because of an accident. I-10 westbound at U.S. 17 Roosevelt Boulevard heading away from downtown. Also, there's a broken down vehicle on the East Beltway on I-295 northbound at the Dames Point Bridge, blocking the right lane. Clouds on the increase tonight, low 48. Saturday, cloudy with a chance of showers, high 61.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
Matthew 6:33 says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." I think this verse has a lot to do with us getting our priorities straight. The words come from Jesus. He said, "Look, you can worry about food or drink or clothing like the non-believer, or you can worry about number one thing." Listen, if you are attempting to be a good steward, we must not forget that in our stewardship, as the great hymn says, we must first turn our eyes upon Jesus.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Does your well water leave brown rust stains on clothes and fixtures? Does it smell bad? Get rid of it all with the HydroCare Iron 300X. HydroCare's multi-stage process gets rid of iron, sulfide, and odors. HydroCare is an easily installed, compact system without tanks, backwashing, or servicing, and only costs $799. You'll be amazed how fresh and clean well water can be. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, visit goodclearwater.com, goodclearwater.com.
Let's get back to the Brandon Groover NewsHour, sponsored by Elite Home Health. You can call Brandon Groover at 904-831-0600.
Okay, we're back live in the studio with my favorite people, Doug Wilder and AJ.
Hi.
My wife, I would count you and my mother, but y'all didn't come. They didn't come with me today. They left. They sent me out to dry. All right. Okay, Grandma, I hear you too, my brother. Okay, I better not. I'm going to leave somebody out and get in trouble, so I'm going to shut my mouth on my head. Okay, okie dokie. Okay, so just to recap, we've been discussing the violent crime problem here in Duval County. We've also been discussing the unacceptable poverty rates on the north side, inner city. We showed on the show a few minutes ago in 3-12-6-09, you have poverty rates well in excess of 50%. We also highlighted how the South Side is doing great, that they're contributing 70% of economic activity to the region. I don't have an issue with that. I want the South Side to continue to win. I like the South Side, but I want to see what the South Side has going on in other areas of the city. I'll say this too. If you look at the North Side, there are areas on the North Side that are not connected to the city line. So if you wanted to bring companies into those areas, the infrastructure is not there. So guess what? They have to go. The South Side is almost built out. So you're seeing a lot of wealth going to St. John's County. You're seeing wealth leapfrog going up into the Nassau-Yulee area. I'm thinking what the city council needs to do is figure out a way to connect all of North Jacksonville onto the city line. That way, businesses can stay here. Why is that important? Doug and I was talking off the air. I'm coming to you next, Marty. Doug and I was talking off the air about how A.C. Skinner and those guys, you know, built up the South Side. And one of my favorite stories was how the Davis family, they were smart. They had a bunch of land in the San Pablo area. And what they did, they said, you know what? Hey, Mayo Clinic, we'll give you all this free land. We'll build you a hospital if you come and set up shop. Now, you would think, why would they do that? Well, they had a good heart, number one. And number two, all the land around Mayo Clinic, they owned it. They knew that if Mayo builds a hospital here, the doctors need somewhere to live. The nurses need somewhere to stay. So all of that area that's around the Mayo Clinic, that area came into being because the Davis family was smart enough to give that land to the Mayo Clinic on land that they owned it. So, and they knew around it, it will blossom. So that's why you have San Pablo, you have the condominiums, you have that nice community all up in going over to A1A because of the Mayo Clinic. So my point is, if it worked for the South Side, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to become socialist. Just do what worked. If it worked on the South Side, it'll work on the North Side, my opinion. And also the same study that we're looking at showed that they did a similar approach in Atlanta. They had, and I can go line by line, but I don't have time to go deeper into those numbers. But when they did the investment over a 10-year period in the Atlanta region, incomes rose, poverty declined, and also crime declined. So, just saying. Okay, Marty, I've preached enough. What's up, Marty? How's life in the fast lane?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to comment on what you're talking about. I know a little bit about it because I worked in Brownsville. I worked in Harlem, East Harlem. So I know a little bit about what you're talking about. First of all, I want to make reference to a beautiful event that happened in Jacksonville. It had nothing to do with shootings. And it's something that when I tell you about it, most people don't even know about it. And that's called the annual World of Nations Festival. Mm-hmm. And it used to be in Metropolitan Park, mm-hmm. and now it was held down by the stadium. Do you know about that?
Yes.
Have you ever gone there?
Yep. When I was a little boy, I used to go every year.
Okay, we've been going for like 20-something years. We didn't go last year. Mm-hmm. This is the city. This is the place that everybody's looking for because there are different. There are gay couples, black and white couples, male and female, female and male, and nobody's bothering anybody. Everybody's having a good time. I think one of the important things is that people go to this event as families, as nuclear families, mm-hmm. and a lot of times there is a recognizable father figure there. Mm-hmm. I didn't go and take the tally as far as, excuse me, are you married? Because I don't feel like getting punched in the face. But the
who will punch Marty? Who out dare them? Go ahead, Marty.
Okay, so the point is that this is a beautiful event. It happens every year. And this is the Jacksonville or the world that everybody's looking for. I never saw any cursing, any rudeness. I just saw a lot of politeness, whatever. Now, what does this have to do with the overall picture? As President Obama said when they were having what we call the Freddie Gray riots in Baltimore, mm-hmm. poverty doesn't mean that you go out and riot and burn down, burn down stores. Yep. People, especially youths, are looking for somebody to like a father figure. Mm-hmm. They're looking for somebody to believe in. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the reason, and I had connections, I used to mentor people from a gang in Brooklyn called the 3-5 percenters, and it was supposed to be an offshoot of the Nation of Islam, and I was friendly with their leader. people are looking for somebody to believe in, somebody to look up to. And the first person who comes along, if it's a good guy, he grabs the opportunity. If it's not a good guy, same thing. If somebody says, come, let me show you how we can make some easy money or whatever, unfortunately, that's what happens. So a lot of times it's just people looking for a leader. And I feel for these people. And, you know, if we look at the statistics, most of the situation in Jacksonville, the shooting is supposed to be drug-related, but it's black on black. Would you give me an amen on that?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So the thing is that the people, the kids, or mostly it's not done by senior citizens. I don't think it's a bunch of people in wheelchairs going around shooting people. It's probably 18 to 25-year-old.
Younger than that, Marty. Younger than that.
Not even that.
Yeah, exactly. Younger than that. You have 15, 16. It's just a mess.
Exactly.
I think it's
terrible because it's just unnecessary bloodshed. What can we do about it? I'm thinking like the military did in Vietnam. They went in to pacify. They went in to teach, to build, to work with people. And let me say this: when I was a cop arrests when necessary, but a cop shouldn't go out there with the attitude that I'm going to lock somebody up today, because that means that you're looking for bad in people.
Yeah, but you know, you're right, Marty. Marty, I got a couple of callers behind, so I got to move on. But I will say this, a lot of this fatherlessness, and I would be a hypocrite if I came on this show and I pretend that the people I know outside the show, I don't know what they're going through. I know a lot of people who are sitting in prison right now in this state, in this country. We really need to reevaluate, you know, how quickly we throw people behind bars. I'm not soft on crime. I'm not saying that you should let rapists and child molesters walk free. But you have a lot of people who are locked up because of nonviolent issues. So that's something we need to take a look at, and we can do that on another show. But a lot of these, because it doesn't make sense.
I gotta come on the show and tell you the real deal.
Exactly.
So whenever you want.
Yeah, because I have a family member who was a good father, you know, took care of his son, went to jail for something stupid, and guess what? Now, if it wasn't for me and my family stepping up, you would have another statistic. So we need to look at this criminal justice system, and it's not on the Republicans. You know, the Clinton crime bill put a lot of people away. So we can talk about that another day. We don't have enough time to fight all the Democratic calls that's going to come in. But, you know, but on this show, we speak the truth. We don't care who don't like it. You know, we just speak the truth and pray and keep moving. But thank you, Marty. We're going to have you on the show soon. John,
thank you,
my man. What's on your mind, John?
Hey Brandon. I grew up in Duval, Clay County. How you doing, man?
I
grew up in Duval, Clay
mm-hmm.
County. I was born to a teenage mom, went to 11 different elementary schools around the counties.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up to be a principal
mm-hmm.
and coach, teacher, and a principal of two schools over 25 years. And I can tell you, I was driving and heard you guys talking about the crime and all the issues. As a principal, I can tell you, you are spot on, man.
Thank you.
We have got to bring back some type of technical education to our schools,
yep.
or there is no hope. I've always said the most crimes are economic
yep.
related,
yep.
not other things.
Yep.
Most of the boys that I've mentored and it's just amazing. They want, you know, when they're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, they want to be astronauts and doctors and
yep.
lawyers and
mm-hmm.
and then something about 11 and 12 it starts to turn in another dark kind of direction
yep.
and it's because they don't see a light at the end of the tunnel.
Amen.
they don't see that there's something else out there, and we're cramming them into these everybody's
yep.
going to college and everybody's not going to college. And it was so frustrating as a principal that I'd watch one young man, for example, I tutored and mentored. This kid, he could take your car apart in the parking lot,
mm.
put it back together again by the end of the school day,
mm.
but
mm.
he struggled with the FSA test.
Right.
And no matter what we did, no matter how much time we put into that, he couldn't pass that FSA test. But
mm.
again, if I put him out there and as a mechanic, a diesel mechanic, he would thrive. He would
mm.
do absolutely amazing.
Wow.
And we're doing these young men and young ladies a disservice by saying everybody's going to college.
Yep.
Everybody needs to take the FSA. It really is killing us. And that's to me, that's the only thing that's going to turn this thing in another direction is when we start with the youth and teaching them skills that they can use and turn into jobs.
Yep.
And the second thing I saw was in those 25 years is somewhere along the line, we lost the male figures in these young people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Fathers, grandfathers, mentors, coaches.
Yep.
You know, that's what kept me on the straight and narrow.
That's right.
I was that 4 out of 5 of my brothers and sisters ended up on the wrong path, but I had just enough of those coaches in my life to say, hey, man, come on, you're better than that.
Right.
And that made all the difference. I had a grandfather that took me to church. I had coaches that were, you know, in my head telling me the right things, the positive yep. things, and that was the difference. So yep. I would say the two things that are going to turn this ship are technical education and getting some more male role models into those communities.
Absolutely. Thank you, John. Hey, that was – John, you just dropped the mic.
Well said.
I can't even come behind that. But thank you, my man, and thank you for tuning in. And anytime you want to call in and opine with us, feel free. Thank you.
Love to, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, my brother. Okay, so, hey, John killed it. I should have went first. but John nailed it on the head. We talked on the show about the breakdown of the family in the country, you know, some of the government programs that led to that. You know, I have an issue with government policies that said back in the 60s that women could come into public housing and men couldn't. If you're trying to help a society, why would you break up the family? So that's another story in itself. I'm not going there today because, like I said, I want to have a nice, peaceful weekend. Okay, Raw, what's up? You got some possible solutions.
Hey.
How you doing?
How you doing? First off, I'm a person of color. I was raised out in the state of Washington, so I have more of a Nebraska, Idaho accent.
Okay.
Okay, I'm black, though. A lot of people get confused because they're not used to black people from the Midwest.
Right.
Believe it or not, we live out there, too.
Right.
But,
when I went to FAMU, they would ask me, where you from? Yeah, I had a very strong Southern accent. I'm from Jacksonville. But go ahead, Raw. I was reminiscing. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to say something that has not been said. It may not be popular. In my opinion, let's just pretend I was governor.
Okay, DeSantis,
what's up? And what I would do, this is not going to be popular, but it would end it overnight.
Okay.
Anytime a juvenile committed a crime under the age of, say, 18,
mm-hmm.
whatever sentence he got, his mother or father would get as well. And I guarantee you, if when that 16-year-old went out and started committing crime, did this or that, and the mother suffered the same penal, what do you call it, the same...
Penalty?
What do you call it?
Penalty. Mm-hmm.
Statute thrown at her son as him, I guarantee you that would totally change the mother's behavior when it came to who am I going to... mate with, who am I going to date, how am I going to raise my kid. That's what we're lacking, is that these mothers, in my opinion, they get away, and I hate to sound aggressive, popping out these kids and then giving up on them after the age of 8. Now these kids go out and terrorize my community, your community, and the mothers are never held accountable, sir. And I just believe until the government starts holding these mothers accountable, say, wait a minute, it's your son. That's neglect. But think about it, sir.
But you know what, Raw? I can see some type of citation if a child, you know, destroys property. But you have some uh-huh. situations. Like I said, I grew up on the east side of Jacksonville, right? So you have a lot of situations where, you know, you have family members where the mother may end up on drugs and the grandparents uh-huh. end up, you know, raising these kids. And if you don't have a father figure in the home, you know, some of these kids aren't afraid of their mother. Because you don't have them, and this is, you know, with all this feminism, boy, I am killing my chance of running for office. But with feminism, you know, they have this whole theory that men and women, you know, can do the same thing. And I'm not saying that women are not equal to men. I believe I have daughters, so I don't want my daughter being second class to anybody. But I do. There is a difference. We have a male figure in the house. I had males in my life. Like my grandfather. I literally thought my grandfather would really knock your head off your body. Like nobody messed with my grandfather. But today, you know, you discipline your kid, then you know they can call HRS and all this kind of crazy stuff. And you know,
I was raised. I was raised like you, sir, with a stern father. Yeah. That's why I don't, to this day, I don't fear the law.
Yeah, yeah.
To this day, I still fear my parents.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about JSO. I ain't scared of JSO. I'm scared of my mama, my grandma. My grandmama was crucial. But, you know, but seriously, though, you know, I see what you're saying, but you have some situations where you do have mothers who are trying. We need to figure out, and you do have some mothers who just don't care, and in those situations, we'll deal with them. But a lot of cases that, you know, I have a lot of single mothers who tell me, hey, can you talk to my son? Hey, can you get on my son? So it's not, I don't think it's that they don't care. You know, you do have some. You do have, you have bad people in all bunches. But for the most part, a lot of these mothers, in my opinion, you know, they don't have their sons just not, you know, they're raising boys. They're not scared of them. You know, they're not afraid of their mothers.
Mm-hmm. They weren't ready to have kids, and that's why I say there needs to be accountability. And before I go, you know, like when I go to the corner store and I see 15-year-olds, and they're asking me, "What do you need? What do you need?" And their pants are sagging. I'm thinking that's neglect.
Yeah, but you know
that's
what's crazy?
Neglect on the part of the parent,
but
or
you
the
know,
mother.
But you know what's crazy? Because I grew
what's
up
that?
On I grew up in 7th Street Apartments on the East Side. And
okay.
And you in the daytime, those see that's like a theory, right? And I'm not saying you, I'm just saying society at large. Society at large feels that you know, that these people are just having kids in their home. When in my neighborhood where I grew up at, between 9 and 5 o'clock, that parking lot was empty because they were at work. The issue is you have kids between, and I think that we need to have more after school programs, red cap, stuff like that, because you have between 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock, those kids are largely unsupervised, and I don't understand for the life of me why they allow high school kids to get out of school at 2:15. You know, I'm just saying that to me that makes no sense. Like so, and we sent a proposal, and I went to Tallahassee and I met with Speaker of the House Sprawls, and I told them like, hey, give us the resources to adopt these kids who are in the community, so we can at least put our fingers on them and know where they are. And we can bring them in with it, because the thing that happens when these kids are unsupervised, you have adults in the communities, not the parents, but you have these bums in the community who, number one, they prey on these kids. It's like the gang leaders. They recruit these younger boys to be gangsters because they're too much a punk to go out and steal the dope themselves. They have a little Ray, you know, who's 15, 16 years old, who's struggling, and say, hey, Ray, you need some love? Hey, come up under me, but sell this product. It's almost like, you know how Bin Laden was? I never understood. I'll let you back in a second, roll. But I never understood why, like, you look at the terrorist people. Bin Laden would recruit all these young people to go up and blow up stuff. And I would say, well, hell, why won't you go do it? You know, he's always telling the younger people to go do it. And it's the same thing in America. You have these pimps, players, drug dealers who go. I know one day I was a little boy, and I'm not going to call the guy's name. My mother would probably take his head off. Older guy in the community, old enough to be my mother, and I stopped to speak. He said, hey, you on that pressure? I'm like, what's that? What's pressure? He's trying to sell me some drugs. I'm like, for real? You're an older guy in the community trying to put drugs on me. So you're gonna, and then you're nine out of 10, you're going to lace it with cocaine. So now I'm hooked on cocaine/crack. So this is the kind of stuff that goes on in the city. But unless the powers that be realize that hey, you need to supervise these kids, because what happens when you let them, it's like even with teen pregnancy, a lot of these girls who get knocked up, they be in church every Sunday. Their mothers actually care. But you know, sometimes you have a missing father and they're looking for love in all the wrong places. So like I said, but as a society, you know, we can't ignore these people. We can't ignore these kids, because guess what? The devil is not going to just stay in his yard. He's going to come and kick in your door. Go ahead, Ro. I'll just get the last word.
That's fine. And before I go, I kind of resent when people say it's black on black crime, because like when the Italians were shooting each other, it wasn't white on white crime. It was mobster on mobster crime. And I kind of resent the term black. To me is too generic.
You know, Ro, we did a show about the Marshall Plan, and we talked about, we broke it down historically on how, because prior to the 1950s, everybody in America was poor. If you was rich or you was poor, there was no middle class, right? And then we built the, you know, we had the tech revolution. America became a superpower. Then, people got on. But we also talked about how you had red line district things. So, you know, when the suburbs were built, the rules were that, hey, black people couldn't move into the suburbs. So then people went into a public house, and then we know what happened with that. You had the government telling the father they couldn't come. You know, all this stuff we talked about on the show. But I agree with you. At the end of the day, we can't just say, oh, it's black on black. I agree. We can't say it's black on black crime. It's American on American crime. And at the end of the day, you know, until we address the underlying economic issues, because there was a time in America where black men had the lowest unemployment rate of any group in the country. There was a time in America, even during Jim Crow, you had the African American children, 85% of them during Jim Crow were in two-parent homes. During Jim Crow. And I was talking to my wife this morning, and this is crazy. You had black people, you had black leaders like MLK who got bigger stuff done when black folk couldn't even vote. You know, you had a civil rights bill that was passed, and you know, we had three civil rights bills that broke down discrimination in housing, employment, voting. You know, you had the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment passed when black folk were still slaves. So I just think it's crazy, you know, with all this technology, all this wealth, you know, all these people in the Congress, that we can't get simple stuff done when Dr. King was running around here when he couldn't even vote. And he's standing, exactly. You know what I'm saying? So I'm with you on that, my man, as far as, you know, we got to stop looking at it. And that's why on this show, I always try to make the connection, because I don't see a difference between, see, the numbers with black folk are going to always look worse because you're dealing with a smaller population. But if it's like poverty. Like I get sick and tired of the Democratic Party always holding the picture of a poor black baby as a picture of poverty. In this country, if there are more poor white people in America than poor black people. But the Democratic Party paint this picture, this woe is me, and all this other stuff. And I'm like, that's not my community, but go ahead.
That's true. But also, again, I guess the point I'm trying to make is, I'm black. How come I've never been shot at? It's because of the culture I'm in.
Right, absolutely.
So when you see what I'm saying? In other words, if I'm in a criminal world, I'm going to be having shootouts with other criminals.
Absolutely.
To me, it's criminal on criminal violence. It's not like a doctor. It's not like you got a black doctor waking up and deciding, I'm going to shoot a black fireman.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. And that's why, you're right. And that's why on this show, I try to always draw the connections, because at the end of the day, those people who bum rush the Capitol building, I see the same connection. In my opinion, those are people who are like forgotten people who've gotten off the tracks. Like if you go in there and hit the Capitol building of the United States and you sit there and take selfies, something is wrong with you. Like that's not normal. And if you shoot people in your own neighborhood, something's wrong with you. So I try to paint the picture that, you know, we have people in this country because of the economic conditions that are driving them to act crazy. And like I said, with that, you know, you look at what Joe Biden did with that stimulus bill is not going to address the underlying issues in this country. We need a Marshall Plan 2.0. We rebuilt, we spent $6 trillion in Iraq, and that was cool. But we can't do nation building here at home. Give me a break.
Exactly.
Give me a break.
Hey, look, I appreciate your show. I'm glad I discovered it today, and I look forward to calling back. I'm in Orlando driving right now.
Sweet.
But, sir, I'm glad I found your show, and
Thank you.
I look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thank you,
my
man.
Team.
Thank you. We're here every Friday. Doug pays some bills. We got bandwidth in Orlando. Okay,
right.
So next week, I don't know what we're going to talk about. But I want to say this too real quick. It tripped me out that the House shut down because of the threat of white supremacy. But the Senate on the other side of the building was still in session. To me, that's mind game and plan. You know, that's the kind of stuff I don't like. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk about that next week.
Can't wait till next week.
Yes, thank you.